The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where this week, as every week, we work our fingers to the bone to bring you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. And yes, I am, in fact, back live after 3 weeks of guest hosts, and really appreciate Scott Ellsworth and Tiffany Ray for coming in while I was on a, if not much deserved, at least much needed vacation out of the country. And gotten a lot of good comments from listeners about the shows over the last couple of weeks with Darren Carey and Adrian Smood as the guests, and with Tiffany and Scott as the guest hosts. So thank you very much, Tiffany and Scott. While I was away and didn't have my computer and was trying not to think about work and all of those sorts of things, I had a bit of an epiphany that led us to today's program. And I can tell you, it all started right before I went out of town, when I was at a mastermind meeting of real estate association leaders. And the topic turned to that in all 12 groups, all the 12 group leaders who were there, we're noticing exactly the same thing in their real estate association, which is that a lot of their more active members, people who've like been buying real estate for a long time and maybe even are full-time investors, are telling them, you know, I'll be back when the market, quote, gets better. And when asked about, well, what do you mean when it gets better? What are you hoping will happen? The responses across the board, well, there's just no good deals out there. There's nothing that'll pencil out. There's nothing I can make money on. And so I guess I'm just going to sit out the market until such time as prices go down, interest rates go down, inventory goes up, taxes stop going up, insurance bills get more reasonable, all of that sort of stuff. And that was kind of alarming to me because, although I have heard some people say that myself, there's a reason that they say it's always a good time to be in real estate. There's always profit opportunities in real estate, and experienced investors should know that. What really bugs me is the idea that there might be newer investors out there who are choosing not to get into the market right now. Like if you've been in real estate for 20 years and you've got 30 rental properties and lots of cash flow, you don't need to do a deal this week. But if you're a brand new investor and you're going, well, I guess I'm hearing people say that I shouldn't try and buy real estate right now, you're wasting an opportunity. Like I don't know a lot of people who, whenever they got started, wish they had got started later, you know, because owning real estate is something that gets better the longer you own it, and you own it longer if you buy it sooner. So, yeah, I get it. Inventory is low. Interest rates are higher than what we've been used to. taxes are going up, insurance is going way up in a lot of parts of the country. But the response to that should not be, well, I'll wait until some, you know, unknown future time when those things are not true, but rather I need to figure out what the people who are making money in the real estate market right now are doing. Because at the same time that I talk to people who say, I'm just not buying anything, I haven't bought anything in a year or two, I'm also talking to people literally weekly who are complaining that they're too busy buying good deals. That like they've got so much on their plate that they can't do all the stuff that they want to do in a comfortable amount of time. So I thought it would be a good idea to do a show about what the people that are making deals are doing right now, so that if you want to be making deals right now, you can maybe do those things too. It's always a good time to be buying real estate, but the way in which you go about it is going to change when the market gets super hot, when the market gets super cold, when the market gets, you know, laggy, where stuff's not moving very well. There's always going to be different strategies. There's five things that everybody that I know who's making deals are doing, and that's what I want to discuss today. Now, I initially thought, well, I'll just go on the radio and basically give a hour-long lecture to everybody. And then I thought, boy, that's going to be both super boring and also, like, hard. It's just hard to sit here and not look at people except for Mike. I mean, Mike's here, but it's hard without, you know, a group of people who are like, oh, yeah, I get what you're saying, to talk for a solid hour. So I made a phone call yesterday to one of the most experienced and currently active real estate investors I know. And I said, would you mind coming on and we can talk about this together? And thank God she said yes. So joining me by phone from her home in Florida is Kathy Kennebrook. Kathy, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Thank you. And thank you for having me aboard, because after the conversation you and I had yesterday, I became quite concerned. Because, you know, I get in, and you know, I'm out there teaching, but I get into my little hovel, you know, and we have built, I've been in real estate investing for more than 25 years now. And I get into my little hovey, and I get into my little routine, and I get into what we do every day, which has been building systems over the years so that we can flex with whatever our market is doing. So I sort of forgot about the fact that we got people out there struggling, and I'm not.
Yeah,
and we need to fix that and help them.
And while revealing the details of the conversation of yesterday, I remember I said, well, you understand that like 95% of all real estate investors out there do things and like to do things, prefer to do things in a very traditional way, where they're going to their real estate agent, they're saying, go find me a deal like this on MLS, and then they, you know, they have the door open for them, they evaluate it, they make an offer, if it gets accepted, they go to the bank, and they get a loan, and then they do their exit strategy, right, that they've always done. And you said, you're kidding.
That's how I did. I haven't done any of those things in a really long time.
Yeah.
Everything that we do is like really creative. Mm-hmm. And again, I will have to say though, my market's a little bit different than yours. Again, I live in Florida. And so our market's a little bit different. So, you know, we talked about like low inventory, for example. That's not the case here, because taxes and insurance has a capital I on it, have gone up so much that the sellers are having difficulty selling their properties because the buyers can't get into a loan that they can afford once they add the taxes and insurance, and in some cases PMI. So in our case, the sellers are having a more difficult time selling their homes, which is giving us more of an opportunity to buy, but having to get more creative on the exit strategy side.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's be more specific. Sellers are having trouble selling their properties at the price that they could have gotten in early 2020. If they'd lower their price, they'd have no problem. People want to move to Florida.
That's true.
If they'd lower their price to below what they want, then they would be able to sell them. And that's a sign of that we've seen before. I mean, you've seen it before in 25 years of a time when like seller expectations and buyer needs are not meeting up, which probably does mean in markets like that, you're right. I'm not in a market like that. That prices have to start coming down some, or people just have to be, you know, settled in the house that they're in and not expect to sell it until interest rates go down, or y'all stop having hurricanes. I think that's the real solution.
Joking.
Stop having hurricanes. Okay, Kathy. So what we're going to do is talk about the five things that we are both seeing and people do and that we are doing ourselves that are resulting in folks actually able to get deals despite all the, you know, call it headwinds in the market. But first we need to take a quick break, and I also need to invite listeners that if you hear anything that you have questions about, if you want to add something to the conversation, you can send an email to venaradio@gmail.com. That's V like in Victor, E-N-A, radio@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call here in the studio at 877-772-9658. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. The topic today is, what are people in this market right now, this meaning the economic market, doing that's making money in real estate? Because I can tell you the 95% who want to keep doing things exactly like they worked in 2022, whether that's how you did it or whether that's how you're learning how to do it by attending YouTube University or whatever, it just doesn't fly anymore. Hey, Kathy, remember the 1% rule?
Yeah.
That was like in 2020, like that was on everybody's lips. Well, as long as you buy a property at basically 100 times whatever the rent is. So, you know, if it rents for $1,600 a month, you pay $160 for it. It's gonna make money. I wonder what happened to that. Like everybody was swearing up and down that was the absolute way to.
I haven't heard that in a little while.
Yeah, because it works when interest rates are 2.5%. It doesn't work when interest rates are 7.5%. So I'm kind of like you. It hadn't really sunk into me that how much what I am doing on a day-to-day basis has changed, because I've been through this before.
Exactly.
Until I heard a bunch of group leaders say this
is what you were saying. I know.
this is what's happening within our group. So five things, and we're just going to go through them one by one. And let me say to listeners, don't get all freaked out and go, oh my God, I've got to go to do all these five things. Most of the people I know that are doing really well in real estate right now, like really building wealth, really creating cash flow, really making money on flips even, are doing one or two of these five. So you get to pick the ones that like most appeal to you. And maybe none of them do. Maybe you say, nope, I don't want to change anything. Well, okay, we'll see you whenever the market allows for your way of doing things to work again, is what we what we come down to. And the number one way is one that I know is one of your favorites, and that is, they're not trying to buy those on-market deals that every homeowner, every investor, every human being is trying to fight over.
Exactly. They need to start buying their properties off-market. And then they need to start targeting the most highly qualified sellers in whatever your demographic is. Because, like I said earlier, my demographic is different than yours. So they need to take a look at that demographic and then create a marketing campaign targeting the most highly qualified sellers in that group that are off market.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, in case somebody's like listening for the first time and they're going, well, I don't understand how that helps if sellers want too much for their property. Who cares if it's listed in the MLS or if I got them to call me? Can you give us the 1 minute reason why off-market deals are deals that are going to make money and on-market versus the on-market deals?
Because there are so many reasons that sellers sell that have nothing to do with the money. And those are the sellers that you need to be targeting. So in my case, we get a lot of our folks who own homes in Florida own homes elsewhere. So, you know, maybe they're not coming here anymore, you know, for their vacation or their 6 month thing or whatever, estate and probate, obviously. So they're transfers, folks getting transferred for a job, they need to sell right now. It doesn't matter what the market is doing, they need to sell right now. Estates, same thing. They need to settle an estate. They need to get paid. You know, that property needs to get moved. So these are the sellers who are not necessarily listing with a realtor. Maybe the home is dated. Maybe, you know, the home has other problems. Maybe there's liens, whatever that might be. So those are the sellers that we really need to target. These are the folks that need to sell, like, right now. I just got done with a deal with a seller, for example, and the property's worth around $240, $250. I just picked it up for $116. It only needed $30,000 of rehab. Mm-hmm. That was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the deals are out there, guys.
And
you just got to get the right.
And talk about that seller, because I think it's for people who've never dealt with off-market deals, they really do have the attitude of, oh, it's just going to be more of the same. It's just going to be sellers calling me and telling me they want 110% of what the property's worth, much less what I can pay for it, which is maybe only,
right,
you know, 60-70% of what the property's worth. Why did that seller sell to you at 116?
Okay. Short story, husband passed away and she wasn't spending another day in the house.
Mm-hmm. So the idea of, yeah, let's open it up for showings, let's put it on the market, let's get it cleaned up, let's
no,
do all the stuff that you need to do to sell it on market. She
yep.
was just like,
and this lady was in her 50s, so it's not like it was elderly or anything like that. She was just she knew he was going to pass away. He did pass away. The house needed rehab. It needed like $25,000-$30,000. She had actually been told by other investors that it needed like $60,000 or $80,000 in rehab, sort of stuff. And there were offers that were way lower than the offer that I made. I'm in this business to do win-win between me and a seller. I would never do that. That's not my MO. But she wasn't staying in that house another day. Mm-hmm. And I get it. And that's basically what happened there. So bought it inexpensively, and I have it on the market for about $30,000 under what retail would be. And I have no doubt that in a week or two we'll be out of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if we're not, there's more than one exit strategy out there that I have no problem with. So,
mm-hmm. And just because I know this question is going to come up at vinaradio@gmail.com or on the phone or something, there might actually be some people who don't know who you are.
Oh.
So go ahead and tell them what your favorite way of finding these off-market sellers is.
My favorite way of finding off-market deals is very targeted direct mail. Two reasons for that. One is that I am always able to flex with my market and target the most highly qualified sellers within a specific market area, number one. Number two, my letters are special. And one of the things that makes them very special is that within the body of my letter, I do a response mechanism that explains to the seller what information I need in order to figure out if there's a deal there. So when my responses from my sellers hit my desk, they're already pre-screened for the most part. I've already got most of the information that I need in order to determine what kind of a deal I'm going to present to that seller. If I need to do more research, it's nothing, you know, usually it's like, you know, maybe what the mortgage balance is or, you know, what the valuation of the property is, things like that. But I've already got most of what I need.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already, you know, filming out all the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it hits my desk, it's already, you know, 80% it's a deal.
And for all those folks who are like, oh, no, I just want my agent to go find a deal for me, or how come my agent can't find a great deal for me? I don't want to do this. I don't want to go do this other stuff because I tried it once in 1995 and it didn't work. Let me encourage you, listeners, that direct mail doesn't work if you don't do it right.
I mean, there's, correct.
If you're sending the wrong message to the wrong people, and you're not sending it often enough, and you're not following up, and you're not, you know, there's four or five different things that if you do one of them wrong, yeah, you'll spend a bunch of money, you won't get any response, and then you'll be saying Vina and Kathy lied to me. You can't just like go do these things. You got to learn how to do them right. And direct mail, also my favorite, as you know, Kathy, but there's lots of people who like to do different things. There's folks who like to go door knocking. There's folks who like to use online type advertising. And, you know, anything works if you know how to do it right. You can't just like watch a YouTube video for 5 minutes and go, okay, let me go spend some time and energy launching this. Before we move on to item number two, I just got an email from Todd that I just have to read out loud because it's so true. He says, investors tend to find what they seek. Many of those who say there are no deals today really don't want to find a deal. It's much easier to sit back and do nothing than it is to work to find or create deals. Maybe they need to change their market or property type or method of deal structure, but there are plenty of owners who want to exit looking for intelligent deal creators.
Exactly.
So true. Thank you. Thank you.
I totally agree.
Thank you for that email, Todd. All right. So that's number one thing is, the folks that I know that are being successful are in some way, and they're not, by the way, I don't see a lot of people who are trying to do everything either, Kathy. I don't see people who are trying to do direct mail and door knocking and online advertising and cold calling and. You get good at one of the things and they go do it. There are four other things, though. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about numbers two and three of things that folks who are doing deals in this market might be doing that you're not doing. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones-Cox, just having a conversation today with Kathy Kennebrook about what people who are making deals in the crazy market that we're in right now have in common, what they're doing that you might not be doing. And Kathy, during the break, I got an email from Carolyn, who says, this is the perfect conversation for me to be hearing. Thank you. I'm in Silicon Valley, California. It's a very strong market.
Oh, wow.
Properties sell fast. There's a lot of marketing going on here. Sometimes I get two calls on the same day from people trying to buy my house. Do you have any advice for this type of market?
Same thing. We just focus on really highly motivated sellers. I'm not working with generic anything. I get those same phone calls four times a day myself. And so that's just not what I'm doing. So even though that's happening and even though their market is a little bit hotter per se, I have students throughout California that are making deals. What you need to be doing is reaching highly targeted sellers with a direct mail piece that's very focused on what their specific problem is, with the language within the letter explaining, you know, how you can help them, what you can do for them, so that it, you sound realistic and professional, and it's not a generic garbage letter, which I get a lot of too. And then you target with specific lists that are very specific to the types of sellers that you want to be drawing into your pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And then the language within the letter, and then the list, and then honing the list even more to reach the most highly motivated sellers within a group. So we stack our lists in such a way that we're drawing in the most highly qualified sellers within a specific group.
And Carolyn, let me give you some insight. Kathy just said she gets calls and letters. You said you get calls and letters. Neither one of you is a motivated seller.
Exactly.
So you are getting calls and letters from people who did not do what Kathy just said. You're getting
right. You're getting they're doing the generic routine.
Just you own a rental, so let me call you. Let me send you a letter. Not you own a rental. Oh, and also you're behind on your taxes. You own a rental. Oh, and also you just evicted a tenant. You know, there's no, and that's the kind of marketing that most people are doing, which is why they're upset about what they're spending on it versus what they're getting. They're just reaching out to way too many people. Carolyn, you kind of already knew that because you're going, why are they calling me? I don't want to sell my house. Yeah, the key is you gotta, as Kathy said, hone in on people who are in fact very likely to not just want to, but need to sell their property. So, Kathy, number two thing that I know you do it, I do it, is most of what I've been doing for the last 2 years, in fact. And the folks that I see that are being successful, this is one of the things that they might be doing, and that is they're arranging deals where they can actually pay a lot closer to full price. I mean, if the seller's interested in full price, there's a way you can give it to them, but it involves getting your financing someplace that's not the bank.
Exactly. I haven't been to a bank in 20 years to do a deal. I can't even imagine that scenario anymore. When I can pick up the phone and say, hey, I need X amount of dollars, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would I do that? We do a lot of seller financing. You know, even if it's a partial mortgage or whatever, we work with our sellers. Private lending is king for me. 80% of my deals are with private lenders. And then I've done some partner deals. On my vacant land deals, I have a couple very large pieces of vacant land that I've done with partners. I can't even imagine going to the bank and getting a loan for a deal. That scenario is just so far away from what I've done in a very long time. And you need to remember that, you know, I've been around a really long time, probably longer than you because you're younger than me. But when I started in this business, and I said this in a class last week and everybody fell on the floor, hard money was 18%. You know, and back in those days, it was like, you know, if you want the money and do the deal, you pay the 18% because there's still plenty of profit left over kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to be able to negotiate with the seller, with a private lender, you know, or even with a partner sometimes, to create a situation and create a deal that's going to be effective and work really well, that works a whole lot better for me. I have, like I said, I've been mostly using private lenders for years. And once you build a stable of private lenders, private lenders beget more private lenders, you know, because people know each other. And I've even bought properties from private lenders because if they're lending money to you, they're probably lending money to someone else. I just actually picked up one that one of my favorite private lenders had to foreclose on another guy, and called me and said, do you want this? I was like, heck yeah, you know, because I already know the terms are going to be great.
Let me help you out with that.
Exactly.
Mr. Private Lender. Yeah, so, I mean, this is particularly important for buy and hold people because this is the example I always use. I have a $200,000 house. It will rent for $2,000 a month. I will sell it to you for $200,000. Do you want it? And everybody says, well, no, that won't pencil out by the time you've paid the tax and insurance and maintenance vacancy, and it's going to lose money every month. And I say, okay, what if I will sell it to you for $200,000 with a payment of $895 a month? Now do you want it?
Right.
And all of a sudden the price doesn't matter. right? Because it's
exactly,
it's what is the payment that matters to buy and hold people. And yes, seller financing, private lenders, partners, all of those people who don't have, I mean, you go to the bank and they say, here's the interest rate, take it or leave it. Here's the down payment, take it or leave it. Here's the closing costs.
Right.
Here's the additional fees. With sellers and with other individual human beings, you can create win-win deals where all of a sudden price doesn't matter to you. You know, it might still matter to the seller, but that's okay. You can pay people
right.
full price if they'll give you the right terms for a property. Strategy number three that folks are using, and this again applies more to the buy and hold folks, is because they can't find a deal that when you write it down on paper makes any financial sense as a rental, they're looking at alternative exit strategies. They're saying, okay, so I've done long-term rentals. I like long-term rentals. I'd like to do long-term rentals in the future. But right now, this deal that I like doesn't work as a long-term rental. So would it work as a short-term rental? Would it work as a mid-term rental? Would it work as a shared housing type situation? You know, a pad split, or maybe I can house recovering
nurses,
addicts, or nurses, or somebody like that.
Nurses, yeah.
Which
been
will
doing that for years.
Yep. So instead of worrying so much about the front end, you know, what price am I paying and what terms am I getting? They're worrying about the back end and saying, is there some way that I can raise the income from this to make it make sense? Thus, acquiring a property today that in 10 years I'm going to be really, really happy I bought.
Right. We've also, to that strategy, we've also added lease option.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, now you got this poor buyer who really wants to buy a house. They got a decent down payment, but with interest rates such as they are and all that kind of thing, we've been able to turn those into lease option situations. So you're getting your normal rent, plus you're getting an additional amount that will go toward that down payment. So you got a chunk on the front. You're still getting a decent chunk every month, and then at the end you get paid in full. So we're still doing lease option because with the buyer paying the additional amount each month that's going toward the down payment, we're getting enough rent to cover our nut and give us a decent profit, knowing that once we sell that at the end, you know, that, then we're so that's kind of putting in place the sale of the property now. And, mm-hmm. and getting, you know, chunks of cash as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else we've added to what we're doing even more of right now.
Yeah, and the thing about, I mean, everything that we've discussed is to a lot of listeners, I think it would involve them learning something they don't know.
Right.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe you have a great full-time job and you don't really need this extra income or wealth building or whatever. And so the idea of learning about it is like, nah, I'll just wait. Maybe you love your cookie cutter so much that you just don't want to change it and you're just going to wait for the market to change to come back to it. But the more you know about different ways
right.
to do things, the more flexible you can be in markets like this, and the more you just kind of keep going and go, okay, well, that doesn't work anymore, so I'm going to go try this thing that does work, and I'm just going to keep on making money. And this would be a good time to mention, Kathy, that the upcoming National Real Estate Summit here in Cincinnati on October 31 through November 3, at which you will be speaking along with about 25 other experts, the whole event is really built around the stuff we're talking about. I mean, that's the great thing about having an event that only happens once a year, is that you can look at what is happening in the market and then say,
so
who do we need to bring in, who's doing well in this market, who has strategies that work in this market?
Right. Yeah, it is actually the most amazing event in the whole country ever, because you are bringing in the most respected experts in the country for 4 days to fill their brains with all of the info that they could ever need to build a real estate investing business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it just blows me away and has for a very long time. That
well, and we and we
I'm always honored to be there as one of the trainers.
And we don't try to talk about stuff that doesn't work. That's the key thing. Like there's certain topics that people will say, hey, can you talk about this? Can you bring in somebody about this year? And we say, no, because this year, that's not really a great strategy. We'll bring in right. somebody on that topic when it is a really great strategy. Wanted to let listeners know, I've been teasing them for months now about there was going to be some special offer for Real Life Real Estate listeners to attend the summit. And that offer is actually up on the website now at wmkvfm.org. And usually, so we have Fun Drive in September and people pledge to come to the convention and the money all goes to the radio station. That's what's happening here. It's all going to go to support WMKV. And every September we do a 1 hour Fun Drive and like the phones get overwhelmed and people end up not being able to get the special package. So we thought we might start it a little early this year. The special offer is this. It's $197 to get, and this is again a pledge to WMKV. That's who's going to be on your bill. It's going to say WMKV. $197 to get one ticket, $297 to get two tickets. Now, people who are familiar with the event are going, well, that's the same price as it is on the Rio website. Yeah, that's true. But also, WMKV listeners get a free VIP pass, which is normally $127 extra and gets you the recordings of all of the sessions so that you can go home and listen over and over again. And in addition to that, and this is only for the first 30 people who register, and it literally went up on the site today, so you're going to be in the first 30 people who register. I am adding to that my How to Comfortably Successfully Negotiate with Sellers home study course. So that's a manual and 6 hours of, you know, recorded talking about it. And that's on my website at $297. So for $197, you get a ticket, you get a VIP pass, you get a $297 negotiation course, which, hey, I promise you guys, I don't care how good a negotiator you think you are, I'm going to be able to teach you something about how to negotiate win-win deals with sellers. So the way you would be certain that you were in those 30 people, because OREA can't donate all of its tickets to WMKV, because OREA is a nonprofit too, is you would go to wmkvfm.org, you would scroll down the homepage until you saw a little thing that said National Summit Pass, and you would click there and you would go ahead and make your pledge to get your tickets. Again, you want to bring a second person, it's only $100 more. I strongly suggest you do that because y'all need to be at this event. It's going to be full of people who are doing deals. It's going to be, and I'm talking about the attendees here, and it's also going to be full of people who can tell you how to do deals. So wmkvfm.org, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking today with Kathy Kennebrook about the five things that people who are doing deals do. And by the way, I should also mention that if you're just like, no, I cannot wait until November the 1st to learn how Kathy does these off-market deals. This Saturday, she is teaching an online class for Cincinnati REIA. It is 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and she's going to cover both her strategy for marketing to off-market deals, organizing all that marketing, getting the list, following up, all the stuff that she does to continue to get deals even when supposedly there aren't any. And then, Kathy, I think you're going to spend a little time in the afternoon talking about your favorite alternative asset, which is land.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm excited.
Yeah, so no.
We'll be spending about a little over 2 hours talking about vacant land.
Okay. And how to make income off of it.
Yes.
Cash flow.
And well, yeah, because the way that I do vacant land and the way that I teach folks to do vacant land is that I don't want them out there flipping everything they get their hands on. That is just not realistic. The best way to make money in vacant land is buying, holding, leasing. Because most of your vacant land deals will pay for themselves in full very quickly. This is nothing like buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rest of it at that point just becomes ongoing, ongoing, ongoing income. And you can create your deals short-term or long-term as far as your leases. And obviously we're going to talk a lot about all of that Saturday, but I really like vacant land. Again, getting into another portion of the marketplace as an additional stream of income. You know, that's what I'm all about. We always have between, you know, three and four different streams of income in our business. And one of those accidentally became vacant land like 15 years ago. And so I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the whole thing, but to really have the opportunity to share everything that I know and do with vacant land is super exciting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if y'all want to spend Saturday with Kathy online, CincinnatiRIA.com is where you go to sign up for that. It's really cheap, and it's also money back guaranteed. So CincinnatiRIA.com if you want to jump the gun and not wait until November or two. Hear from Kathy. Now, coincidentally, the fourth thing that these successful real estate investors are doing is exactly what you just said. They're saying,
yeah,
okay, if residential properties are high demand, low availability, you know, hard to make cash flow, whatever, then I'm going to go look at other types of assets. And land is one.
Exactly.
That I know a lot of people are super excited about.
Again, in the part of the world that I live in down here in Florida, we've been doing wobbly boxes for years. That's what we call those good old mobile homes.
Yep, that's another one.
And there's some high dollar deals there to be made, Vina. And same thing, if you buy a mobile home correctly, there's money there to be made as well by holding that thing short or long term.
Mm-hmm. And there aren't so many people fighting over the mobile homes.
Exactly.
So we're fighting over the houses. And other things that I have talked to people who are like, oh, I'm looking at this. Commercial properties.
Yeah.
Notes. Self-storage. You know, like other things that you can either flip or that produce income, but
correct,
maybe it's not quite so hard to be the only person looking at that particular asset, and they're not so overvalued. I mean, I think you're still,
right,
I think you're still buying land at a dime on the dollar or something like that.
Oh yes, ma'am.
These
days,
that's
what I'm saying. They pay themselves in full so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll talk a lot about this Saturday, but just quick example. I have a piece of land that we bought, and I ended up leasing that piece of vacant land to a gentleman who owns a canoe outpost. He put a metal building on it so that they could store, you know, canoes, kayaks, paddles, all that good stuff. And since that's one of our favorite hobbies, now all my shuttles are paid for quite a while, so yay. but that, when, by the time he paid me first and last and his first, second, and his last month rent, it was paid for in full.
Mm-hmm.
And everything since then has been pure profit.
Mm-hmm. So off-market deals, alternative exit strategies, alternative ways of financing properties. Did I say alternative assets? Like I've said alternative so many times I forgot. Alternative assets. And then the fifth thing, and I think people underrate this. I think they don't realize how important it is to their own mindset to be around people who are optimistic about the market and who are doing things that make money.
Correct.
If you're hanging out with a bunch of negative Nellies that are like, don't even bother, nothing out there right now, you're going to believe that. If you're hanging around with people like, I just closed another deal. Oh, I just rented a property I bought 2 weeks ago. Oh, I just, you know, flipped another retail deal and made $100,000. You start
right,
thinking, well, I could do that too. And also, there's all these people that I know who know how to help me do it.
Exactly.
You know? And that's you know, hate to sound like a broken record here, but that's another reason people need to be at the national summit. I mean, it's 4 days, so like really, it's very condensed, right? You get a lot of information in a very little amount of time.
Oh, you sure do. I mean, even I, as many years as I've been doing this, I always walk away from that event with something new.
Mm-hmm.
To put in my toolbox, you know?
Me too. And I've been going to it for 30 years. And every year I'm like,
yeah.
Nah, I know what all these people are going to say. And every year I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to go do that. I always leave with pages of notes about stuff that I need to be adding to my business. And it's, I mean, we got three different ways to find deals. So direct mail, door knocking, digital marketing. We're covering commercial properties, mobile homes, shared housing, short-term rentals, midterm rentals. This just got decided. I'm actually doing it all day on Thursday, October 31st at the event. And this is unique to the event. I've never done it before. I will not do it again. It's an all day on how to figure out creative deal structures on deals. Because, you know, like not every deal is a subject to, not every deal is an owner finance, not every deal is
right.
So how do you even go through the decision-making process of, okay, what is this deal based on the seller's needs, my needs, what I'm going to do with it, and so on. So I don't know why I always feel obligated to say this, but I don't own the National Summit. This is not something that, you know, I go and do and all the money goes into Vina's pocket. It's sponsored by the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. It's been going on a lot longer than I have been involved with it. And even if I was not responsible for helping to coordinate it, I would still be going and y'all should be going too. And the best way to do that is get to feel good about pledging to public radio at the same time. Go to WMKVFM.org. Scroll down on the bottom of that homepage. Look for the thing that says National Summit Package. Click there. Get your ticket, because when you get your tickets, you're also going to get a free VIP pass and a free negotiating seminar that's worth $297. There's just no downside. So, Kathy, appreciate you being here today. We are unfortunately out of time, but I will get to see you again on Saturday.
Yeah.
Along with everybody else who signs up for that at CincinnatiRIA.com. And also look forward to seeing you in the fall at the National Summit.
I'm looking forward to both. And thank you for having me on the show tonight. And thank you to everyone who's listening. Awesome.
Yes, thanks all around. We'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.